You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
All right, the title today is Scar Wars, and I want to ask you a question, kind of just, I don't know if I want to know the answers to this, so don't start answering this yet. But do you have any scars, and I don't be, oh yeah, I got one, or some guy back there lifting his shirt. Do you have any literal scars on your body? Raise your hand. Now look around the room. Okay, how many of you have a scar bigger than this? I don't want to see your scar. Thank you very much, ma'am. And there's all kind of scars in this room, aren't there? How many of you have a scar that was inflicted from some type of just injury, an accident or an injury? Raise your hand. Now look around now. How many of you have a scar right here under your chin? Raise your hand on that one. From busting it as a kid somewhere. A lot of those. All right. What are the kind of scars? I mean, there's scars in this room like stab wounds. You know, like wives stabbing husbands, things like that. Chicken pox scars, zit scars. There's such a thing. Is that the right word, zit? Maybe I should use another word. What are the kind of scars you got? Surgery scars? Childbirth scars? Never could figure out what an Assyrian baby was. Then I realized it was a Caesarean, not Assyrian. Anyhow. All right. What else did y'all say over here? Battle scars. How many of you guys have scars, men or women, who have been in battle at some point in your life and have scars as a result of battle? Raise your hand. Anybody? Right there. We do have one, two. We almost ought to applaud those people. If you get scars from being in battle, that's Memorial Day weekend stuff right there. All right, what are the kind of scars? I don't want to leave any kind of scars out. Emotion. Your hand back there. Burn scars. All right. Scars from a burn. My daughter has one of those right now. Rebecca was taking a pan from the stove and boiling water and noodles in it and came around and Victoria had gotten between the sink and the stove and it popped her in the ear and went down her back. And so you see Victoria's little back and it's healing well, but that's not any fun. Scars are painful. And it's interesting, now that I mentioned that one about Victoria, every time I see that scar, I know what happened to her. And you can go 20 years and see that and remember that pain. Now, how do you go? Let's go a second category. What kind of scars do you have that nobody can see? Because see, most of you that have these scars that we've been describing, you can show me a healed scar, right? There's a mark. And if you're taking a bath or look down at your arm, wherever it is, you look down and see that scar and you remember it, but it's not a fresh wound. It's something that happened. You go, that's in the past. But what kind of scars do you have that nobody can see? Emotional, mental. Well, I think that would fall under the mental scars. Yes, I think that would be mental. So you got to share with us now. That laugh was too good. Is she sharing scars back there? All right. Well, we have counselors available after the deal. Emotional, mental, what else? Spiritual scars, all right? Now, here's what I want us to talk about today. If you have these scars, have they healed? When you think about the scar, and I'd really like, I don't want to dig up the past here today, but see, some of you have scars from the past, and when you see the scar, see, in some people's case, let's say you had surgery, you had heart surgery. Anybody in here ever had open heart surgery? Raise their hand. Okay, we got a few open heart surgeries in. Let me tell you something. That person wakes up, they take a shower, they stand in front of the mirror, and they see a scar on their chest. It's not a bad scar because it is a life-saving scar. They may not be crazy about what they look like. You know, it may not be a designer scar. I mean, it just may be a scar. But when they see that scar, they can either complain that they had the scar or say, you know what, God, thank you because I'm alive today because somebody put a scar, opened me up, and did something inside of me that allowed me to live, okay? But a lot of you have scars that when you see the scars, they are not good memories. It's not over. It's not healed. It's not gone. You hate seeing those scars. I mean, if somebody in here has been attacked, I mean, if at some point in your life you've literally been attacked and stabbed and, you know, by a thief of some kind, whatever it is, and you see that scar, you can conjure up those memories, unless you see that scar and go, you know what, God, I could have been killed. I'm still alive. Thank you. This is a symbol of a way that you preserve my life. There are a couple of kind of people, maybe three in the room. There are people who have scars and they're not healed. There are people with scars that are healing, and there are people with scars that are healed and it's over. I don't walk around thinking about the scar on my leg all the time. I rarely ever even see it. I mean, I just don't think about it anymore. At the time, it was a real deal. It was very painful. So what category are you in, if there are those three, let's say? And how, if you've healed, did you heal? And what are you going to do if you haven't? And there's only one thing worse than having a scar, and that's having a wound that's just open. And I think there is a medical term for this, but there are some people who, if they're cut, they just don't heal. The open wound stays, and they have to wrap it and bandage it. And that's, I mean, if you think having a scar is bad, imagine having a cut and constantly having to bandage it and put stuff over that spot and clean it, I mean, the rest of your life. I mean, it's a nightmare. But some people live that way emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. They will not allow this scar, this wound, to heal. If you've got something in mind, there's a couple of ways this can go. If you have been healed of something, or maybe you've thought of something else, maybe it could have been something that happened to you this morning. And see, words scar. Words hurt. It's hard to retract words, and you can ask for forgiveness, but when you take certain words and cut into somebody, the wound may heal, but I'm going to tell you what, they're going to watch for that same knife coming at them again, and it can create some distance and some tension. Some of you have said something where you've inflicted pain like I did on my brother on somebody. You've had something said to you, and it makes you a little gun shy. What else can scar? Words? What else? Actions? Neglect? What else? How do you get wounded? Words, actions. I'll tell you one, and I've shared this before, and this is kind of personal, but I'll tell you one of the weirdest ones to me. It's not saying something. It's not saying something when you should. It must be pride. It's borderline right between stupid and proud. It's somewhere right in there. When your wife does something good, guys, or your mom or your dad or the person you're dating, whatever, or women, when your husband does something good, isn't it amazing how we hold back instead of saying these things that we could say? And I've said this before. Somebody told me the worst form of criticism is a compliment withheld. And when you have it in your power to say something powerful, like, you know what, you did a great job. It could be your boss. It could be an employee. Don't hold those things back, because people are hurting sometimes for lack of encouragement, and that leaves some kind of wound that if somebody just say, hey, we're going to make it. You're doing a great job. You're a great... Guys, I'll recommend this. Pick up the phone after lunch and call your wife, if you got a wife. If she's a mom, include this. Say, you know what, I just called to tell you I love you. And I think you're one of the greatest women, one of the greatest wives, one of the greatest mothers on the planet. And I appreciate all you do. There was underwear in my drawer again this morning. And the socks were together. I've mentioned all this, you know, the underwear fairy before, you know, just stuff shows up in your drawer, guys. How does that happen? Say something when stuff like that happens. Women, do you think that'd be a good thing? Raise your hand. Do you think that'd be a good thing? Yeah, there you go. So when your husband does something good, women, tell him. If you think it's good to hear it, tell him that. Well, he didn't tell me. Oh, so we're going to wait to see who goes first? We'll be stupid and proud together and die that way. All right, I'm going to read you some verses about a guy who had some scars. And if anybody had trouble, this guy's name was Paul in the Bible. And there is a passage, and if you want to read this later, I don't think we have time to read it all, but in Acts 26, Paul is given an opportunity, because he's under arrest, basically, to speak to this King Agrippa. And he said in verse 2 of Acts 26, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all things which I am accused by the Jews. And he goes down and starts talking about what he's been accused of. And he says in verse 4, my manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation Israel, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. I now stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. It keeps going. Indeed, in verse 9, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison. Now listen to this guy's past. He is a religious zealot, if there ever was one, lived by the letter of the law, according to the Jews. But he said, in thinking I was doing the right thing, I had many saints arrested, shut up in prison for nothing else but being a Christian, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death because of what he did, people were executed for nothing but being Christians, for following Christ. I cast my vote against them. It's not just that he had them arrested, but it was time to vote should they live or die. He cast his vote that they should die. So he's had people falsely arrested based on Christian charges. He's had them executed, voted for that. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Punished them in the synagogue. I would go into a city and identify who the Christians. Y'all know the story about the guards back in the Cold War, terrible times behind the Iron Curtain in Russia. These guards went in and raided an underground church. And a bunch of these guards came in and said, all right, we want to know who the real Christians are. We're going to shoot whoever is a real Christian. And we want to know who you are. And anybody that's not is free to leave. And a bunch of them got up and left, denied Christ. And after they'd all left, they closed the doors. The guards said to those remaining, we were afraid. We've been looking for God. And we wanted to find out who the real Christians were. And we know you must be the real Christians if you die. And all of them were converted and stayed and joined that little church. Paul was one of the guys who didn't go in for that reason, but who would go in, have these people arrested, cause them to blaspheme, in other words, speak against Christ, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities, chased these Christians as far as he could chase them. While thus occupied, then he talks about what happened to him, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. This guy is on his way to Damascus to do the same thing he's been doing to more Christians, and at midday he describes what happened, that I saw a light from heaven, brighter than sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when I fall into the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, Saul, you're not persecuting those people. You're after me. And I've about had enough. Now, what could God have done in that moment? Saul has been cut wide open. He's got enough past to bury him, where God could have said, you're persecuting me, and like an ant just squashed him and it's over. But what does he say? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Don't take it personally when you do a Bible study at work, when you pray at a meal, and when you do whatever you do and somebody says something and persecutes you guys. It's not you they're after. It's Jesus they're after. They're persecuting him. Jesus said to him, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people. Now listen to what Jesus tells Paul that he's going to do. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom now I send you. And this is what I want you to do. Now everybody listen, because if you're a Christian, this is your job too. To open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. My job, your job in the workplace, every day, your family, neighbors, friends, is to see people's eyes open. People are blind. If I took blindfold, somehow could wrap stuff around your eyes right now at lunch, put that on you and just say, go back to work, you would make a fool of yourself going back to the office. Number one, it would take you forever. You would trip over stuff. You might end up with some scars. People would watch you like, why did somebody help this person, right? You would trip, you'd stumble, you'd try to find your way. That's why people look so stupid stumbling around every day of their lives. They're blind. If you've seen the light and you know Christ and you've been given wisdom to make decisions and not, well, we'll just go back where we left off. How many times do you have to jump in the sack with somebody and get out and be disappointed and get in and get out and get in and chase women, men, do all this stuff to figure out it doesn't work? You're blind to it. The devil comes along and says, we're going to have fun. Oh, well, I guess you're right. And again, boom, you get sucked in the same trap. And if anyone were to watch you, let's just take me or anybody in the room, and we're all going to follow, we're going to pick one person in here, and we're going to follow you around all week, and you don't know it, and we're going to just watch whatever you do. After a week of this, if you're being deceived a lot, you know what we're all going to say? My gosh, somebody take the blinders off this person's eyes. They're tripping, they're falling, they're doing stupid things, they're getting sucked into all this sin unnecessarily. Our job is to see, which Paul finally saw, but it's also to be around to help turn people, to open their eyes, in order to do what? To turn them from darkness to light. It is an unbelievable difference. I mean, I've used this illustration before in here too. We turn all the lights off and try to read. If you've lived in the dark and the light comes on, guys, it's an unbelievable way to live. Anyone who's ever been blind and been healed or had surgery of some kind where they can see, it's a whole nother world. You're supposed to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Now, that implies that Satan has power. I guarantee you he has power. If you think he doesn't have power, then what in the world, you know, how do you explain what he's doing to your life? And these sins that have control over you, and you say, well, it's just a habit. I can't find any answer in the Bible for habits, but I can find you lots of answers for sin. You're going to call it what God calls it, he's got an answer for that. The power of Satan to God that they may receive forgiveness of sins. I talk to dozens of people every month, person after person, sit down one-on-one, and I'm telling you what, guys, you know what people need is forgiveness of sins. I talk to more people with so many open wounds, things from their past, abortions, illicit relationships, sleeping around, adultery, drugs, whatever it may be, and they can't shake it, and it is eating their lunch, and they need desperately to be forgiven of their sins. I lived 20-something years of my life reading the stuff in the book and not having it in my life. You know, I'd read there's someone who could heal me. I'd read there's somebody who could sew me up. I'd read that it'd be okay, but I didn't know how to let him do it to me. I felt like I had to pay. I'm just going to cut myself open and live this way. That's what I deserve. If anybody deserved to not be healed, it was Paul. God could have just said, enough, Paul. I'm going to squash you. Now, please think about these things when we read them and when you read them at home. Wherever you read this stuff, God should have wiped Paul off the face of the planet because of what he was doing. But God comes along and says, Paul, I'm not going to wipe you out. I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to heal your heart. I'm going to heal your mind, your life, and I'm going to turn you around and get you doing exactly what the people you're persecuting are doing. So you say, but I'm too far gone. The scars are too deep. They've cut into my heart. I'm going to die. No, you're not. Where there's breath, there's life. You're either going to let the God of the universe heal you, and that's what Paul said he was sent to do, and that's what we're sent to do, is that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The story goes on. King Agrippa, verse 27, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Paul had told him that Jesus had died for him, was buried and raised from the dead so he could live forever and between here and heaven. Agrippa got that close and wouldn't let go. Agrippa could have been healed. Everybody's got a past. Everybody's got scars. Acts 13, verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law will not forgive you. Grace will forgive you. You've got to get under Jesus, not under religious stuff. And you go to Jesus and say, you know what? I got nothing to give you. I got everything to gain. I'm wrong. You're right. I need forgiveness. You're offering it. Jesus died to make it possible, shed his blood to forgive me, and I need it, and I'm taking it. I don't deserve it, but I'm taking it. You get saved from your sins, plural, small s, the same way you get saved from your sin, capital S, singular, by grace through faith. And you say, but I've been doing the same sin over and over. I feel like I'm blind. I can't get free of this. Let me tell you something. Whatever you do, don't stop asking for forgiveness. What the devil will do is say, you know what? You're just a flake. You go get my cell phone out of the car, turn it on. You know how you can program where it comes on, it says something? In big letters, when my cell phone comes on, it says, don't give up. You know why? Because the devil comes along and says, Richard Ellis, you are a flake. And you've been struggling with this stuff, and you're going to go down the tubes. You might as well just quit telling God you're wrong because you just are wrong. So just enjoy it till you die and keep going. Don't stop confessing your sin. Don't stop getting the forgiveness, because sooner or later you'll be forgiven and experience that and get tired of the sinning and want more being on his side than the wrong side. Don't stop. You say, but it's the same thing over and over. Then keep confessing it over and over and get forgiven and keep going. If you go down, get up. If you go down again, get up again. Philippians 3, this is the same guy, Paul. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things that are before. I'm moving ahead, I'm not moving back. Let me tell you something, guys, you cannot change your past. But what you do today about your past can change your future. Let him heal the scars. Let him heal your heart. Get on with your life. If you don't deal with the past, you don't have a future because it just keeps coming up. It kills today, and today because tomorrow, tomorrow it just keeps coming. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Read Psalm 130. If you ever take notes, read that. Verse 3 says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? If you kept score, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. He's not a God. If he was trying to keep score, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to shed his blood and wipe it all out and remove all the handwriting, all the ordinances of stuff against you, that you could be free and forgiven. You know, it's interesting, the word scar is in the word scare. And the devil comes along and says whatever he's been telling you about your past, about forgiveness, is, you know, you're not going to make it. Just scares you out of nowhere. Have you ever been just sitting calmly somewhere and all of a sudden just fear come over you like, oh my gosh, what happened? I was fine a minute ago. And some thought come in your head. You're not going to amount to anything. You're nobody. You're a flake. Whatever he lies to you and tells you. And he scares you. And he uses your scars to scare you. He says, look back there. You see that thing in your past? Because of that, you don't have a future. Now, what do you tell him? I'll tell you what you tell him. And I'm going to read you this out of the book. And if you write stuff down, you write this one down and memorize it. Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, Satan, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. You know what the devil does day and night in heaven? Accuses you before God. He did this. You better do something to that guy. He is down there doing that again, accusing, accusing, accusing. Verse 11, and they overcame him. How do you overcome the accusations? It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now, I'll tell you what that means. The devil comes along and scares you with your scars. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And you know what people say? You shouldn't talk about the blood. It's gory and people don't understand. Let me tell you something. You don't understand the blood, you don't have jack. Without the blood of the Lamb, I got nothing to stand here and talk about. And it may be foolishness to the world, but it's precious to me. And the blood is where the power is. It's where the forgiveness is. His blood was shed, so mine doesn't have to be. And he died so I don't have to, so I don't beat around that bush. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What that means is they say to the devil, you know what? You may be right that I did it, but I got blood here that says I'm forgiven. And you just leave me alone. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What's their testimony? I once was lost, but I've been found. You might as well leave me alone because I belong to somebody else and I may screw up, but I can get back up. Don't give up and don't let him scare you with the scars, because the scar wars were won about 2,000 years ago.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, thank you so much for your word and for truth. In a world where everything has to be so politically correct and we're scared to death we're going to offend somebody, sin is offensive and it wrecks our lives. I thank you in my own life that when I go down, you're there to pick me up. And when I confess my sin, you are faithful, you're just to forgive me and to cleanse me. And I pray for the people in this room, Father, whatever the scars, whatever the devil's been beating them over the head with, that they would receive, discover the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ and understand they'll never be able to pay and they can't make anybody else pay. They've got to be forgiven. They've got to forgive. And I pray healing today, Father, for hearts and minds and souls and spirits and even bodies that have been racked by the lack of forgiveness that cost you everything, your Son and His blood, to make possible. And Father, for the people in the sound of my voice who say, yeah, it's kind of wacky deal, it's religious stuff, I don't get all this. Father, open their eyes and let them see and understand who you are and what this is all about. The Bible itself says the preaching of the gospel is foolishness, so I know it's foolish sounding, God. You said that. But it is the power of God and the salvation of those who believe. Let them experience that power, Father, and that changed life. And let them receive this awesome gift of eternal life that Jesus lived, died, was buried, and raised from the dead for, to purchase for us and offer as a free gift. We love you, God. We thank you for truth and how that it really sets us free when applied to our lives. And we pray that you would speak to us in order that you could speak through us and use us this day for your sake as well as ours and those around us. And we pray it in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.